Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, this morning we ask that as your words are read and proclaimed, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your message for us this day. Use my words or speak in spite of my words. But Lord, speak to us this day. And indeed, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So have you ever been wronged by a relative? That hurts. And then the next question is, did you hold a grudge? And the next question is, how's that relationship now? Okay, here's a little bit harder question. Have you ever been the one that was in the wrong in this relationship? And if so, did you seek forgiveness? If so, was it given? And how is that relationship now? You know, I know as well as you do that family relationships, you know, they're complicated. And honestly, when they get fractured, it seems like they can really be hard to mend. But when they're mended, when in fact forgiveness is actually sought and then given, it can be a divine moment. It can be a moment where you actually see the face of God. Now, I love the Old Testament stories, and so I love summer because I often preach from the Old Testament in the summer. But I really like Old Testament stories because, you know what? They didn't try to sugarcoat anybody. Even the most dysfunctional of relationships, not even for our biblical heroes. Last week, Pastor Joshua talked about that fractured relationship between King David and his son Absalom. And forgiveness was available there. Unfortunately, Absalom just never took advantage of that. And he died estranged from his father. Today's story, we'll be talking about some twins that seemed destined from before birth to be at odds with each other. And we'll see if we can find anything in there that's instructive for our own lives and our own relationships. I know you're all actively reading the book of Genesis this summer because that is your part of your summer reading list, is the book of Genesis. If you haven't started, I encourage you. Genesis is where all of our faith stories begin. And so to catch you up sort of on where we are in this morning's story, so we have Abraham and he was called and we're going to follow his lineage down through Sarah. We know she was barren for a long time. In their very old age, they had Isaac. And then Isaac married Rebekah. And that brings us to our twins of today, Jacob and Esau. And today's story actually begins way back in Genesis in chapter 24 when we have this beautiful love story of Isaac and Rebekah, how Isaac's mother Sarah had died and during this time and they brought back a wife from the land of their ancestors and they brought Rebekah. And we're told immediately that he loved her and that he was comforted after the death of his mother. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, and he was 60 years old when she finally conceived. And when she conceived twins. Even in utero, it seemed that these boys were fighting with each other, so much that Rebekah cried out to the Lord about that. And then even at birth, Esau was born first, And he's described as red and hairy. Lovely way to describe him. And Jacob is second. And he's grabbing onto the heel of Esau, even as he's being born, like he's trying to pull his twin out of the way so he could be born first. And so they named him Jacob, which is heel grabber. Right? So So then these next words that we read in Scripture, you know what? They are some trouble for any family. We read that when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. And then here it comes. Wait for it. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Oh, parental favorites. Right? If you've got more than one child, you know how this works. Because they are always conniving and trying to see which one is your favorite and sure that they are or sure that they're not. But when you're so clear that you're favorites, it is a recipe for disaster. Then we get a glimpse of what their basic personalities are like in this next little scripture story. We read that once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I'm famished." Therefore he was called Edom, which is red. And Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus, we're told, Esau despised his birthright. We learn some things about these guys, and in this little scripture, we get a glimpse that Esau, you know, he was a man who was ruled by his appetite, literally ruled by his appetite. Wanted immediate gratification. And in this little tiny piece of scripture, we sort of get the sense he's maybe a little simple-minded because he's so focused on what he wants right now. Jacob, on the other hand, well, maybe we call him conniving. Maybe we call him an entrepreneur. You know, he sees an opportunity and he sort of goes after it. He's sort of a big-picture thinker. We also see that he does not mind taking advantage of his brother. Well, then you fast forward many years later when Isaac, their father, is an old man. He's apparently lost most of his vision. And he is pretty sure that he's about to die any day. What's a little bit funny about that is he actually lives many more decades after this next little bit. But he's not sure when he's going to die. And so in chapter 27, we read about his intent to want to pass along the family blessing to his oldest son, Esau. And we'll see that tradition and how important the passing on of the family blessing is later on, because we'll have Jacob then blessing his 12 sons and giving them particular. The words that they said in the Old Testament for these family blessings carry a lot of meaning. And so it is that he wants to pass on the family blessing to his oldest, to Esau. And so we have Isaac saying, "Okay, Esau, here's what I want you to do. I'm old. I'm about to die. I want you to go out and I want you to kill a piece of game and bring it in and cook it up the way that you do. And I'm going to eat. And then I want to give you a blessing." Well, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, heard him say that. And you remember which one is her favorite? Jacob. And she says, "Jacob, quick, while your brother's out there hunting, here, let me bring you a lamb. And I want you to, we're going to slaughter it, you're going to cook it up, and you're going to give it to your dad. And he's going to think that you're Esau. It's going to be great. He's going to give you the family blessing instead." And Jacob doesn't say, "Mom, that's not right to do." He says, "What if dad finds out? I'll be in worse shape." And his mom said, "Leave it to me." And so, you know, in this sort of funny turn of events, she takes the skin of a goat that's kind of hairy. Remember, Esau is hairy. Puts it on Jacob like sleeves. Puts Jacob's smelly clothes on him puts Esau's smelly clothes on him so he smells like Esau. And then she cooks up this food and she goes, "Now take it to your dad." And he takes it to him and he says, "Here, Dad, here's the food you asked me to prepare for you. I'm ready for the blessing." And he said, Who's in the room with me?" "Oh, it's Esau, your firstborn." He says, "Come here a little closer." And he touches the goat hair on him. He says, "Well, you're hairy, all right. Let me smell your clothes." "Well, you're smelly, all right." It's the smell of Esau, but it's the voice of Jacob. But he eats anyway, and then he gives Jacob the family blessing. Well, here in a little while, Esau comes back in, having done what his dad asked him to do, and brings it in, and his dad says, "Who is this?" And he says, "It's Esau, your firstborn." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I gave your blessing away to your brother, Jacob." That didn't go well. And so the result of that was that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, it says to himself, but somehow his mother heard him say it, so he must have said it out loud to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching, and then I will kill my brother Jacob." Sibling rivalry here took an ugly turn for sure. Rebekah knew what it was that Esau was planning, and so once again she intervened to protect Jacob from Esau. She told Isaac, "We need to send Jacob back to our ancestral land to find a wife from there." She really, I think, just wanted to get him away from Esau, to let him cool off for a while. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about Jacob when he was at Laban's place, right? So that's Rebekah's brother, and how he met and fell in love with Rachel, and how he worked 7 years for her. Then he was tricked by Laban into marrying Leah. Then he worked another 7 years for Rachel, right? The trickster got tricked. Well, after that, after their marriages, then the race to have baby boys was on. And so for the next several chapters, you read in Genesis how each one was trying to best the other wife in having all these boys. And 12 boys were born between Leah and Rachel and each of their maids, which they also gave over to Jacob to have babies. And by the way, one daughter, Dinah. He was with Laban for 20 years. And then Jacob and all his children and all his herds went to return home. But would 20 years be enough time to keep Esau from carrying out that threat that he had made so many years before? Exactly how long do family estrangements last? Sometimes, unfortunately, they last through many generations, long after whatever the wrong is that happened, families remain estranged. You know, in my own life, I have seen families that have been divided, hurtfully divided, over inheritances that were unevenly given, over harsh words between siblings or between parents and children that couldn't or wouldn't be forgiven. Over a child coming out of the closet as gay and parents unable or unwilling to be able to get past that. Over alcoholism and addiction. Over marrying a person that the parents just disapproved of. There are so many ways to find yourself on one side or the other of a family divided. How long do those divisions last? Well, I read this wonderful article by Barbara LeBay. It's called Family Estrangements. And she writes that when a resentment of a wrong or a hurt or an injustice persists in your mind, it becomes toxic. And it corrupts not just our life, but the lives of everyone close to you. Resentment escalates into grudges, and then to rage and hatred, then to damaged and often completely ruined relationships. And she writes, the only way to get over resentment is to forgive the person who caused it. But that act of forgiving is so difficult because it always occurs with this tangled knot of emotions. What can make it somewhat easier, she says, is to view forgiveness as a necessary gift to yourself. Well, back to our story. We have Jacob who knows that if he is going to take his family back home, he is insured to have an encounter with Esau. He may have been gone for 20 years, but he still remembers those last murderous words that Esau had said. And so as he's going, first of all, he sent some messengers ahead of him. And he instructed them. He said, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I've lived with Laban as an alien and stayed until now, and I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female slaves, and I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." The messengers returned to Jacob, and they said, "We came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." Uh-oh. Esau is coming to meet him, or is Esau coming to massacre them all? He has no idea. And we know that Jacob is afraid. And so, at this point, Jacob prayed. Not that arrogant, conniving, heel-grabbing twin kind of a prayer, but as an older and wiser now father, aware that he is responsible not just for himself, but for all his children and for their mothers. And so he prays, "I am not worthy of all the least of the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant, for with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number." And then he sent gifts on to Esau. He sent gifts from the herds of his animals, lots of them, and told the people that were walking with the animals to say, "These are from your servant Jacob, not your brother." He knew that he had damaged that relationship and that might never be able to be reconciled. "From your servant Jacob, and they're present for my lord Esau." You see, repentance and humility and prayer, when you're the one who's caused the rift in the relationship, those are good guidelines to follow. They don't ensure that the person that you have wronged will accept you or your gift or your request for forgiveness. It's still important to do it. Steps 8 and 9 in Alcoholics Anonymous call for making a list of the people that you have wronged, becoming ready to make amends, and then in fact making amends, except where to do so would cause some greater harm. Well, after Jacob had done all that he could, he separated himself from his herds and from all of his family, and he stayed up all night, and he had an encounter with the divine. He wrestled, we're told, with Scripture, with a man, but Jacob really clearly saw that as wrestling with God, and that's how it's interpreted in Scripture as well. And he came out of this all-night wrestling, this encounter with God, a changed man. No longer named Jacob, heel grabber, he was now named Israel. And he came out of it as well with a limp. Because honest, open, soul-wide wrestling with God, it leaves us changed, and it sometimes leaves us limping. Which finally, at long last, brings us to today's scripture. Now Jacob looked up, and he saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. And he put the maids with their children in front, then Leah and her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. And he himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" And Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maids drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor with my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And then hear what Jacob says. Jacob said, "No, please. If I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand." And here it is. "For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Since you have received me with such favor, please accept my gift that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything I want." So he urged him, and he took it. Restored relationships, forgiveness, asked for and given. It is indeed an encounter with the grace of God. It is indeed like seeing the face of God himself. Esau is like the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son. Esau in that story would be like the father in that story. He shows what the love of a father looks like, what the love of our heavenly Father looks like. And friends, it looks a lot like amazing grace. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, this morning we lift up to you any that have broken family relationships, any that have fractured relationships with you. We ask, O God, that you would work in our hearts to cause us to seek forgiveness if we need, to cause us to give forgiveness if that's what we need, and to always be mindful that no matter how many times we come to you because of our own misdeeds and selfishness, when we fracture the relationship with you, that each time we encounter you again, you say, "Welcome home, my son, my daughter. I love you." Because of that, we can do the same. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.